God wants every single Christian to be strong. And the strength that we are talking about is not being strong as the world sees it. And the church should also be a place that can attract people to come and come again. Become interested in what your father is doing. Become interested in the fact that we want to operate Matthew chapter 6 verse 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness. Are you ready?
Welcome to the Supernatural Word with Samuel B. Sawyer. Expect a positive change in your life through the power of God's Word. He is the head pastor of the Rose of Sharon Cathedral, a branch of Catch the Anointing Center, one of the denominations originating from the Lighthouse Group of Churches, founded by the prophet Dr. Ward Mills. Today, he preaches about the art of following on the topic, For Such a Time as This.
Today, I want to speak about Esther. Why Esther? Well, because I can only preach what the Holy Spirit has laid on my head. There are so many, things you can share, but it's important to share what the Lord has laid on your head. And that scripture or the title is taken from Esther chapter 4, and I would like to just read for you, for such a time as this. For such a time as this. Well, this service will encourage somebody. I say to encourage somebody. Amen. Because the story of Esther is of someone who came from virtually nothing, from a place of difficulty, from an impoverished state to a place of royalty. And I see you rising from the dungeon, rising from the dust, rising from the mud, rising from the toilet, and I see you, God, setting you up on high. If you are that one, let me hear loud, amen. Yeah. Bible says he takes the needy from the dungeon, wow, from the dust, and he sets them in the palace. Esther chapter 1, verse 1. Somebody here, God is going to show you that you are in the world for such a time as this. Say hallelujah. In case you thought that probably your life was just a meaningless existence, I want you to know that God thought of you, and God knew you, and God has a plan for you. There's a verse in the book of Romans that's so exciting. Romans chapter 8 verse 28, it says, all things work together for good to them who are the called according to his purpose, to them that love God. Verse 29 says, but he that he had equality foreknew. He knew them. He knew them. God knew you. Say, God knew me. You have to believe that God knew you. Yeah, your life is not just an accident. Even if your parents were not married when they had you, God still had a plan. Let's go. Esther chapter 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the days of Ahasuerus. Ahasuerus was a king. Those are Ahasuerus which reigned from India even unto Ethiopia. Over 127 provinces. So the extent of the kingdom of God. Amen. And before I continue, Esther also is a book in which the name of God is not mentioned, but it actually speaks about God. And they are what we call typology. Say typology. Typology means something that represents something. Symbols. Hallelujah. Something that represents what? Like a shepherd, the symbol is a staff. So Esther symbolizes many things, and you should be careful when you're also looking at typologies. You shouldn't extend it too much. If you extend it too much, it becomes a problem. And in the book of Esther, we find different characters. I need to say all this so that when we read, you can understand it. Is it a good idea? Yeah. So Ahasuerus is a kind of standing for God in a certain sense. Amen. And though. In the story, he was just an immoral, pleasure-loving king. And you know when I say pleasure-loving, he did a party for 6 months. Yeah. The party lasted 6 months, half of the year. We also find Esther, who is a kind of redeemer, by representing us as Christians. Say amen. Amen. There was Esther's cousin, who was called Mordecai. Everyone say Mordecai. Mordecai is also a kind of Christ. Amen. I'm just sharing this with you so they can understand. There was an enemy of the Jews, because Esther was originally a Jew, who was living now in Persia. The enemy of the Jew was called Haman, who is also a kind of antichrist. I hope you are getting what I'm saying. There was a guy called Haggai, who was given to Esther to assist. And he can stand for the Holy Spirit. Some people say Mordecai is also a kind of the Holy Spirit. All these things just to help you to understand the book of Esther. Now, that in those days, when the king of Israel sat on the throne of his kingdom, that's in Shushan the palace, in the third year of the reign, he made a feast. I'm reading very fast, I'm jumping. Unto all his princes and his servants, the power of Persia and Media, the nobles and princes of the province being before him. Verse 4, when he showed the riches of his glorious kingdom and the honor of his excellent majesty, many days, even 104 score days. 104 score days. If you did mathematics, a score is 20 and 4 score is what? 80. So 180. Is my mathematics correct? Is it half a year? Something like half a year. A year is about 360. So 180 is what? Half a year. So a party for 6 months. Hey! May your wedding reception last for 100 days in Jesus' name. Someone say, "Na pastor, meet me here." The reception is in two parts. The part that visitors have come and then they have gone, and then just you and your wife. The reception continues. Let it be so in your marriage in Jesus' name. Verse 5. And when these days were expired, the king made a feast unto all the people that were present in the Shushan, the palace. There were two parties, one for 6 months, one for 7 days. Both great and small, 7 days. Amen. So when everybody had come, finished that 6 months party, then he did a smaller one, just for a smaller group in Shushan, and that was just 7 days. May you be invited to party after party. Say party after party. I say party after party. When you continue reading verse 1, it describes the party. The party was too powerful. It describes even the colors of the party, verse 6. White, green, blue, fastenings. It describes even the cups in verse 7, vessels of gold. Different types of cups. What the whole party? Just a paper, plating, plastic. Listen, God is preparing a party for somebody. Somebody say, for such a time as this. These are exciting times. I say, these are what? Exciting times. This is not just like COVID times. The exciting times to be alive. Every day of your life must be an adventure. You should wake up in the morning saying, Holy Spirit, what do you have for me? Knowing that there's something powerful, something great going to happen. Say amen. Amen. It shouldn't be that because somebody promised you rice and whatever stew. So that's what you are looking forward to. It's good. But you must look forward to God preparing something nice for you. Are you listening to me? Bible says, thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. My cup runneth over. And that should be a daily thing. Why should be a daily thing? Because David said that one thing have I desired of the Lord, and that would I do what? Seek after. Psalm 27 verse 4. To do what? To dwell in his temple and to inquire. Is somebody here with me? And that's what a Christian should be interested in. That God, what do you have for me? Not just on particular days, but every day. That's my desire. And the Bible says in verse 8, and the drinking was according to the law. None did compel. In other words, when you come to this party, you must drink something. You must eat something. There are some parties, not every food is for you. There's a high table, the food on the high table is different. And what they serve is different from what's on the ground. But in this case, everybody was going to eat according to what he wanted. That they should do according to every man's pleasure. The servants were supposed to do according to every man's pleasure. Whatever you want. You want goats, they will go and bring the goats right now. Praise the Lord. There was a woman called Vashti. Everyone say Vashti. In verse 11, the king called to bring Vashti the queen. Vashti means beautiful. That's the meaning of Vashti. Before the king with the crown royal to show the people and the princes her beauty. For she was fair or she was beautiful to look upon. But the queen Vashti refused. Hey! Ladies, be very careful that when you have been blessed to have been chosen and you have been found and now your husband is saying, just come. You are saying me. No. There are some women who are just looking for the title, Mrs. And they are looking for the wedding. But they do not want the responsibility that goes after. May you become a woman who is ready not just for the title, but for the responsibility in Jesus' name. Oh, I say for the responsibility in Jesus' name. Listen, what is the point in being a woman? You are married. Before you got married, your beloved used to enjoy the food you cooked. Now that you are married, now it is AC. AC from Abuadze, who is cooking for the husband. You have gone to bring AC from Gomuafete. And Pastor, by if AC is a good cook. The Bible says when the queen Vashti refused to come, verse 12, the king was very angry. His anger burned in him. Old English, he was very wroth and his anger burned in him. Let's be careful. We learn how to please people. When you read this book, which I'm actually preaching from, Art of Following and the Art of Following Esther, one of the things about you will notice is that the Art of Following Esther is the art of learning from those ahead of you. The art of following Esther is the art of what? Learning from those ahead of you. It is not for naught that you are blessed to see somebody in front of you do something, whether good or bad. It's for your learning. Say, it's for my learning. Esther was going to come into a situation where Vashti had misbehaved. Will she behave the same way? You have probably come into a situation where you have seen your father or your mother behave in a certain way. Would you do the same? This is called food for thought. Say food for thought. And unfortunately, there are mothers who push their children into bad things. Oh yes, push them. I had a certain lady who was in a church that I was also in the same church, and she used to say, the pastor, in my area, all the ladies, when they're coming home in the evening, they have a plastic bag. I said, what's in the plastic bag? Then she said, groceries. Then I didn't understand, not knowing that every evening the mothers will push them out. Go and do whatever you can so they can come home with some bread, with some sugar, with some groceries. Whether it meant sleeping with other people or whatever. There are mothers like that. And that's chapter 2, verse 7. We see something about Esther. Everyone says something about Esther. And he brought up Hadassah. That is Esther. Hadassah was the Jewish name. But when she came to Persia, she chose the name Esther. Esther means hidden. Hadassah means mighty. It's a kind of tree, very special tree. Esther means hidden. She actually was not supposed to reveal her identity. The Bible says his uncle's daughter, for she had neither father nor mother. Today, if you are here, you have neither father nor mother. This message is for you. Say amen. Amen. Or maybe you just have a father but no mother. This message is for you. Or you have a mother but no father. This message is for you. Or maybe you have both, but they are virtually absentee. This message is also for you. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother was dead, took her for his own daughter. After these things did King Ahasuerus promote Haman. I told you about Haman, the Antichrist symbol or type. He was the son of Hammedata, the Agagite. And the Bible says advanced him, or in other words, promoted him, and he set his seat above all the princes that were with him. So this Haman was promoted by King Ahasuerus and wanted everybody to, as it were, salute him. Some of us, when we have a little post, we want everybody to acknowledge you. Recently, I changed my title. Not changed, but I added a new title, Shepherd Benjamin. Amen. Amen. So those of you who don't know that, now I'm Shepherd Benjamin or Shepherd Sam or Shepherd Sammy or whatever. You see, you may not understand, but being a shepherd is actually a very privileged role in the eye of God. Yeah. When you say pastor, sometimes people's definition of pastors are different. I say pastor, somebody thinks of a pastor who carries some bag and is walking from shop to shop praying for people. Or some fake pastor be who is somewhere with a white maxi and then a red belt and then shaking a bell. Anyway, the Bible says in verse 2, Esther chapter 3 verse 2, and all the king's servants that were in the king's gate bowed and reverenced Haman, for the king had so commanded concerning him, but Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence. Mordecai was not going to bow down to this Persian slave master. Then the king's servants which were in the king's gates, the Bible says, they said unto Mordecai, why transgressed thou the king's commandment? In other words, everybody is obeying the king. Why are you not obeying the king? Let me share this with you. Once we are in the world, Bible says we are in the world but not of the world. A Christian is not supposed to be conforming to the pattern of this world. Bible says that be ye transformed by the renewal of your mind. We are not supposed to be conforming. Well, for many Christians conform, they just follow what the world is doing. Pastor, what I'm saying, is it making sense? Christianity is not how do you call it, like a culture within a culture. It's a culture against another culture. The way of life for the Christian is not the way of life of the world. All that is in the world, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life, the Bible says, is not of the Father, but is of the world. 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. That's what the Bible says. I want you to know that this Mordecai decided that he was not going to bow down to this, as it were, a slave master. I want to ask a question. Anybody who cares to answer should answer it. Would you want to bow down to another God? Would you want to bow down to the representative of another God? Hear me well. I say, would you want to bow down to the representative of another God? Then let's be very careful the things we hold in esteem in our lives. Let's be very, very careful. Some of you might not bow down to Tigari. You might not bow down to some clay fetish in a pot. But so long as you are bowing down to food, food controls you. Yeah. You'll do anything for food. I listened to a slave queen the other day. She said in her time, a restaurant had been opened. And in that restaurant, if you're a girl and then a man takes you there for fried rice, hey, you're on top. No, that's your saying it on radio. I don't know if I even saw it. Even today, there are some people, if they have the chance to be taken to Papaya, to Kempinski, to Pinkberry, oh, they remove their pink pants. Ah, yeah. No. It sounds like a joke. But there are some people, if they get the chance to become, just to go somewhere they have never been to before, they will change their allegiance. They sing in the choir, but for that evening, their singing is familia wope. They'll be singing to that big bellied sugar daddy that is working with them. I declare in the name of Jesus, we are not talking about you. We say we are not talking about me. Hey, the Bible says, and this is the man Haman, verse 5. And when Haman saw that Mordecai bowed not, nor did him reverence, Haman was full of anger. I want you to know that the devil does not want any of us to do well. The devil, like a roaring lion, he's seeking whom he may devour. Yeah. If you're a Christian, you must know that the devil has a target on your back. You are in the crosshairs. But there's good news. Say, there's good news. Bible says the angel of the Lord encampeth around them that feareth him. Yeah. So instead of concentrating or thinking about what the devil is going to do to you, why don't you think of what God has for you? I say, why don't you think of what God has for you? That is why I'm preaching for such a time as this. I say, for such a time as this. There are two kinds of Christians. There's a Christian who is always thinking of what the devil is doing. And then there's a Christian who is always thinking of what God is doing. I think you need to be you need to marry the two. Do not be ignorant of the devil's devices. But neither should he make you your preoccupation. You see a demon behind every tree. Every time you are walking on tenterhooks, you jump. You are wondering, is there a demon? You see a demon behind everything. Why don't you see an angel behind everything? Why don't you see the hand of God behind everything? Why don't you, even when circumstances are not going well, why don't you see that God has a plan? You say, God has a plan. There's a reason for this. I hope you are listening to me. A Christian who can see the hand of God in whatever is happening, so long as he knows he's serving God, allows God's hand to work. Yeah. You allow God. Look at King David, for example. He had been anointed, said he was going to become king. But look at what happened. Rather, he was being persecuted, chased by King Saul. Rather, King Saul was looking to spear him. He had been told that he was going to become the king. He had been anointed by Samuel. Yeah. But it took time. Somebody say, allow God. Or look at Joseph, for example. Joseph had a dream. In Genesis 37, the Bible says Joseph dreamt a dream. And he dreamt another dream. But what happened? After the dream, rather, his brothers are selling him into, putting him in a pit, selling him into slavery. Imagine God had come to Joseph and sat him down and said, Joseph, you know what? You're going to become a prime minister. You're going to become the minister of our Greek. You're going to become the second most important person in Egypt. You're going to be in charge of all the treasury, economics, minister for this, etc., etc. But before it happens, Albert, God tells Joseph that, look, your brothers will deceive you. They will betray you. They will sell you. Even from there, you'll be put in a pit. From there, you'll be put in a prison. From there, there's somebody in the prison, you interpret a dream. But when he comes out, he will not remember you. You'll go to a man's house called Potiphar. It will be going well till Mrs. Potiphar tries to seduce you. And even when you run away, almost naked, now she puts a story on you. In fact, they will be disgraced by you. Come, they will put your picture in the newspaper. Everybody will see that, hey, Joseph attempts rape, molester on the run. Joseph, that is what is going to happen to you. What would Joseph say? You say, Charlie, this trouble, dear. Let this cup pass from me. Now is my soul troubled. And should I pray? Joseph will say, no. Let me just have a cool life somewhere. But see, that is what your life and my life is supposed to be. Under the hand of God. And you need to allow God's hand to work in your life. Some of us, we are busily trying to rearrange things. Not bothered what God is thinking. Not bothered whether our life is pleasing God or not. But all the time, we are busily trying to work things out our own way. And we think we are smart. I could easily have titled this sermon, The Life That I Live. In Galatians chapter 2, when you read verse 20, there are 21 verses. When you read verse 20, it says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but what? Christ liveth in me. There are many Christians, they say they are born again, but they are still very much alive with their old life. But Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ. I bought my Savior. Nevertheless, I live. In other words, this is a new life. Say, new life. It's a born again life, a fresh life. It's the life that I live in the flesh. I live by the faith of the Son of God, who did what? Who loved me and gave himself for me. In 21, it said, therefore, I do not frustrate the grace of God. But there are many Christians, they live by their own means. They live by their own ideas. They live by grandpa's ideas or grandma's ideas or fancy ideas or gun ideas. What a shame. They don't have time for the word of God. They don't have time for quiet time. I don't know why you are quiet. May you have time for your word in Jesus' name. Not the word that your grandmother gave you, but your word, the word that God is giving you. Thou shalt not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. What are you living by? Tea panel. I said, what do you live by? Can I help somebody here?
Thanks for joining us. Today in this convention message, Samuel introduced us to the story of Esther and how she allowed the hand of God to rule in her affairs. Let's join same time next week to hear the concluding part of such a time as this. God bless you. Next time on Supernatural Word.
The devil is always looking for people that he might use to destroy us. Be careful you do not become an agent of the devil being used to destroy somebody else, especially in the church. Listen, when you know that people are against you, it's not a comfortable thing. It's very, 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 very dangerous. And church, be very careful when you also enter into a place where you think people don't like you. Sometimes the devil makes us think that people don't like us. Meanwhile, it's not true. It's our own thoughts that is condemning us. That's why you must fix your mind on God all the time. When you do, it sifts between what is real and what's not real.
Hi. I believe you've heard a life-transforming message. I'd like to pray with you to give your life to Jesus. The Bible says, as appointed unto man once to die, and after that, judgment. What would your judgment be? I pray God would receive you. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Say after me. Say, Lord Jesus, I thank you. You died for me, a sinner. You gave your life for my sake. Forgive me. Have mercy on me. Write my name in the book of life. I'll follow you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray. If you pray this prayer, you're now a child of God. I'd like to invite you to visit us at the Catch the Anointing Center, La in Accra. That's the Rose of Sharon Cathedral. Or find a Bible-believing church nearby. And let's worship God together. Hope to see you in this world or in the world to come. God bless you. My name is Samuel Sawyer. See you.
Thanks for your time. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Use your faith to move all mountains in your way. To contact us for counseling, prayers and ministry materials by Bishop Dakiwood Mills, such as the Macarius, the Manthano and the latest edition, Speak the Word, that is Macarius in audio format, and also Samuel Sawyer's book, Winning the Battles of Life, call or message us on +233-248-906-776 or send an email to sambsawyer@gmail.com. Finally, write to us and share your testimony on how this broadcast has been a blessing to you. See you next time and stay blessed.